The reading that we had read at the beginning of the service tonight from Colossians is a really interesting passage. We all know that God has a principle that the first shall be last and the last shall be first. But one of the extraordinary things about this passage in Colossians is it seems to turn something else on its head completely. I know that when we do a lot of studying, and there's a lot of people in front of me who are going to do a lot of studying at some point in their lives, we're all doing all of that studying in order to get qualified. You know, you want to get your GCSEs, you want to get your A-levels, you then go on and you want to get your degree and everything else. And it's all about getting qualified. But the extraordinary thing about God is he tells us that we're qualified even before we've done the course. And that's quite extraordinary. But one of the impacts of that is that knowing that we've already reached the goal should actually change the way that we live. And in this passage that Claire read for us, it actually says this. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we've not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that he may give you endurance and patience and joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you. So he's already qualified us. And then he says, now all these things I'm praying that you will do. Now, that's very interesting because it goes on and says that we've been qualified to receive the inheritance of the saints in life. Now, one of the ways that the world works is we like to work with the whole business of giving people incentives. You know, if you do really, really, really well, there's a prize. But God knows us better than the world. And he knows one of the things that really makes us motivated to achieve is when he tells us before we've begun that we've already won. Now, I know that all sounds very strange, but actually, one of the little phrases that occurs elsewhere in the New Testament is that we're to work out our salvation with fear and trembling, knowing that it's God who works in us. So what we're being expected to do is not to work towards something in order to achieve it, but knowing that we've already achieved it, just to begin to give expression to it. So isn't it incredible to know that we're qualified? Now, we don't deserve to be qualified because we haven't done the study, we haven't done the course. But actually, we begin by being qualified. And we're qualified not because of anything that we've done, but we're qualified by something that Jesus has done for us. And that song that we sang earlier, after the story of the socks. And I'm so glad that Sergeant Major wasn't there to shout socks as he did this morning, just as you were about to tell your story about the toolkit. And you were going to get them all involved to say, what's in your hand? And there's a voice from my right saying, it's a toolkit. He'd have said it's socks if he'd been sitting next to me tonight, I know. But the song that we sang after that really sums up this passage in Colossians. Love lifted us. It wasn't anything that we did. It wasn't a ladder that we climbed. It wasn't a series of goals that had been set for us as an incentive to get out of the mess that we were in. Love lifted us. Three words stand out to me from this passage in Colossians. Qualified is the big one. We don't deserve it, but God has said, you've passed, you've won, you're in. Rescued is another one. What did we do to rescue ourselves? Absolutely nothing. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. All that we're expected to do is to acknowledge that we're sinners and to trust God to lift us. That's what qualification is all about. A God who rescues us. And then the other big word is redeemed. Redeemed is when you're bought with a price. You can't afford to redeem yourself. But God is prepared to pay the price to set us free. These three big words, qualified, rescued, and redeemed, are ones that Paul wrote to the Colossian church and said, these things are already true in your life. And I'm praying that you will realize this and just be so thankful for it that you will then begin to work out on a day-to-day basis the reality of what I've worked in you. I know it's not the way we'd normally think. We'd normally think that we've got to have that prize set and be told it's almost impossible to get it. And you've really got to labor and you've really got to strive. But God says, I'm giving it to you. We already are, by grace, guaranteed, if we've come to faith in Christ, that there is an inheritance waiting for us. He's qualified to receive that inheritance with the saints in light. This should fill us with thankfulness in our hearts. But it should also begin to transform the way that we live on a daily basis. We should be beginning to see fruit coming out of our good works. You see, there are works that we can do just in our own strength. But there's something about doing the works in the strength of Christ which actually makes them fruitful. Do you know that Jesus said to his disciples, outside of me, you can do nothing. Now that's extraordinary, because you've only got to look at people who've got no knowledge of what it is to be in Christ, and they seem to be doing a whole lot. They seem to be sometimes doing far more than the rest of us. But the issue is, as far as God is concerned, that if you were to mark the score sheet, the score would come to zero. Which is amazing, isn't it? And yet, on the other hand, if you're in Christ, it changes the score sheet completely. Because of him, the good works that we do in his strength, they count for something. Because the glory goes to him. It's interesting, isn't it, that actually in John's Gospel, everyone knows chapter 3 and verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. But if you read on a little bit further, it actually says this, that those that are doing good works, in inverted commas, if those good works were done in a right spirit, they would come to Christ so that the good works would be seen to be of him and not of themselves. Something, it's about getting rid of the self-centeredness in our lives so that the things that we do begin to count for something. There's one little phrase in the Bible which I find the most scary of all. I don't think you'll ever guess what it is, but it's in the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus uses this phrase, a little phrase. He says, they have their reward. Now just think about that for a moment. He says, if you want to fast in order to be seen by people, so that you make a big deal of it, look how much I'm fasting. He says, they have their reward. Because all they wanted to do was to be seen. But there's a greater reward, which is to be seen by him who looks at what's going on in our hearts in secret. There are some people who pray and they want to be seen for praying. It used to happen more in the culture in Jesus' day. Some people would be on street corners praying great prayers. In fact, there were professional prayers. They used to wear little boxes, phylacteries on their heads, and they used to really look the part. They'd have prayer shawls. But they were professional prayers. And what they wanted was to be seen praying. Their prayers got no further than their noses. It's like when the two prayed. The poor man who was beating himself and saying, have mercy on me, a sinner. And then the professional prayer who was praying alongside Jesus said, it was the one who looked as if he was not the professional prayer whose prayers were being heard. There's a whole different way in which God does things. And that little phrase, they have their reward, is something that really always challenges me. What do I want by way of reward? Do I want people to see me? Do I want people to look and say, now there goes a man who's really spiritual, and get the applause for that? Or am I content in myself to know that he who sees in secret is the one that I'm really trying to please. Wouldn't it be extraordinary to stand before the Lord and say, well, there's not much reward for you. Yeah, you inherit along with the saints in light, but actually, so much of what you did, you've already received the prize. You wanted to be seen, you have been seen. There's something about living that life where it's not about self, but it's all about Christ. John the Baptist said on one occasion, I must decrease that he might increase. Actually, what Jesus has done for us in rescuing us goes far, far beyond that. It's saying you must cease so that he might be. It's saying you must be crucified with Christ so that actually the life that you live is the resurrected life of Christ lived through you. These are big things. But actually, this is what it means to be qualified. This is what it means when you've been rescued. This is what it means when you've been redeemed. Big things have happened in your life. Salvation is such a big word. And then knowing that we're saved. And this is something where the army proclaims it almost better than everyone else. The world might not understand why you have two S's and not just one. But saved to serve. Can you see it always has to be that way round? As soon as you turn it the other way round, it has no meaning. You're not here to serve to be saved. The whole Colossian passage is actually summing up what's there in those two little S's, having them the right way round. We're saved to serve. We're saved by the grace of God. We are qualified in order to be inheritors of the saints with the saints in light. Because we've been rescued by Christ. We've been redeemed by Christ. And now, because we've got that assurance and that guarantee in our hearts, there should be a way in which we live out from that. Can you see how upside down that is to the way that the world would see it? It's not dangling a carrot in front of us and saying, if you get it all right, you'll get this. It's saying, let me give you this. Let me give you that assurance of your reward. Let me tell you that it's an absolute certainty. Because you've come in repentance and faith, and you've discovered the salvation that's in Christ, you have that inheritance secured for you in heaven with the saints in light. And now, says Paul, I'm not stopping praying for you. I'm not ceasing praying for you. I've been praying for you since the day I heard of your salvation, that somehow you're going to do a demonstration of that which has been worked in your life, that now you can serve. And the good works that you do, they won't bring glory to you, but there'll be fruit that speaks to the Lord. Because in that humility that God has worked in your life, it's coming out in a different way. It talks about endurance. Paul's praying for the Colossians, not only that they will bear fruit in their good works, but he's also praying that they might have strength and endurance and patience, because pressures come. Pressures come, questions come, doubts come. But if we've got that strength and endurance and that assurance in our hearts, we can live out of that capacity that God has placed within us. I think what the world is looking for today is confident Christianity. I really do. So many other religions are saying, if you do this and if you do that, if you do the other, then you might. But we have a gospel that says, because Christ has done this, and because you've submitted to him, you already have the reward now. Let's live it out. Of course, there's going to come a day when we find out the fullness of it. And that's going to be really exciting, isn't it? When we discover the fullness of what God has done for us. I know one of the things that challenges me, a lot of the things challenge me in the Bible, but one of the things that challenges me, it says that when we get to heaven, he's going to wipe away the tears from every eye. I thought about that. I think that's extraordinary. Does that mean when we get to heaven, we're all going to cry? And then I thought, well, actually, I think when I see the Lord as he is, and when I see the fullness of the salvation that he's brought, there probably will be a tear in my eye. A kind of tear that says, oh God, if only I'd realized. If only I realized the fullness of what you've done for me. How less diffident I would have been in my life. How much more wholehearted I would have been. One famous missionary statesman, a great friend of William Booth, C.T. Studd, said this, that if Jesus Christ be God and he died for me, then no sacrifice is too great for me to make for him. And I think one day that we'll realize that. But you need to come to terms with God's great upside down way of thinking. He saved you first so that you can serve. He didn't come and say, serve me, and then maybe I'll save you. He says, here it is. I want you to know you're qualified. Do you feel qualified tonight? You probably don't. But the reality is you are qualified. The reason you don't feel qualified is because you didn't do anything to gain it. And sometimes the only reason we feel proud of the certificates we put on our wall is because we remember how much work we did for that. But God wants us to be rejoicing in the fact that we've done absolutely nothing to deserve that which he's given us. And yet he's qualified us. Isn't that great? Exams might lie ahead, challenges might lie ahead. But when it comes to the things of God, because you've repented and believed the gospel, because you've said, Jesus, I am a sinner and I need you to save me, that just as that song that we sang about love lifting us, he's come and done exactly that for us. Reached down and picked us up. Washed all the dust and dirt off and said, look, there you are. You're now a priest and a king unto me. I've cleaned you. I've transformed you. Now live like it. Live it out. Let there be fruit in your good works. Because they're not there to try and win. They're just there that flows out of a heart of gratitude. Let there be endurance and strength in your life. Because, you know, that testimony is going to really speak to people. So I know it's my first time of meeting many of you folks here at Birmingham, but I'm going to be praying for you. Because I think that there's some great testimonies that are going to come out of this core. It was a privilege to be with you at the Bullring today. But what a testimony to a world who does not know a Saviour, that there's a group of people right in the midst of this city who know that they're saved and are serving God out of that certainty. You're qualified because you've been rescued and redeemed. And now we just work out that salvation in the confidence of what God has worked into our lives. Amen.
Father God, at the end of our day of worship, at the end of this time that we spend together, we marvel afresh at that most basic and yet that most stunning truth that we are qualified without having done anything at all. We have been made righteous in your sight because of the gift of your Son to us. And tonight we just want to say to you again, we place our faith in Jesus. We want to live the life of the saved. And we pray that all of our service will come forth from the simple knowledge that we have deep within, that we have been redeemed. May what we do always bring glory to you and never to self. May we always seek the riches that you give the redeemed, not the riches we look for ourselves. So bless us this day. Thank you for your servant Hugh as he's come amongst us today and really stimulated our thinking. May your blessing continue to be upon him. May you continue to fill him with the desire to preach the word and preach it in the powerful way that he does. As we go from this place tonight, go with us, that we may be equipped to live the life of the saved tomorrow and then the rest of the week, wherever our front line may be. we ask that prayer in Jesus. Amen.